mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in the faith. You did not come, O God, to judge us, but to seek what is lost, to set free those who are imprisoned in guilt and fear, to save us when our own selves accuse us. Take us then as we are with all our sinful past. Let us pray. We confess, our Creator, that we do not live as you would have us live. We put our trust in things that perish. We treat our possessions as achievements rather than as your gifts to us. Taking pride in what we attain, we scorn those who have little. Not trusting fully in your sustaining love, we endeavor to make a name for ourselves. In our frantic desire to produce and to amass, we sacrifice our health, our families, our natural world. Forgive us, O God. Help us to see the madness of our ways. Cause us to put our lives in order that we may live as your faithful people, showing forth your grace to all the world. In Christ's name, amen. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Let us then give thanks, for God is good, and God's love is everlasting. Thanks be to God, whose love creates us. Thanks be to God, whose mercy redeems us. Thanks be to God, whose grace leads us into the future. We welcome you this beautiful summer Sunday morning here in Duke University Chapel. It is now the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, and our hope and prayer for you is that your spirit will be nourished this day in the abounding love of God, our Maker and Creator. We are very pleased this morning to have as our guest choir the Hilltop Singers, the adult choir from the Elizabeth Memorial United Methodist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. We have enjoyed their gifts of music among us during the prelude time, and we look forward to their gift of music to us during our service of worship this morning. I would also like to welcome members of the band of Northeastern High School from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. They are on tour and have chosen to come and worship with us today here in the chapel. Our guest preacher this morning is no stranger to Durham, and many of you have appreciated his gifts and strengths in ministry in our community for many years now. The Reverend Robert E. McLernan is senior minister of the Watts Street Baptist Church. As some of you noticed during our procession, where we were singing All Creatures of Our God and King, our guest preacher bore a puppy who came into the chapel. So his warmth and his presence attracts many people and many creatures, and we are grateful for that joy and warmth that he shares with us. He has been a strong leader and mentor of faith for many of us in this community. We are glad that his congregation is sharing him with us this morning. We look forward to the word and the prophetic message he will bring. The sermon title for this day is, "That which isn't flint is tinder, and the whole world sparks and flames."
Let us pray. O God, who according to the promise of Jesus, your Son, did send the Spirit of truth to your people, grant that the Spirit may teach us all things, guide us into all truth, open to us the Scriptures, and take the ways of Christ and show them to us for your name's sake. Amen. The lesson from the Old Testament is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The lesson from the epistle is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Here ends the reading from the epistle. Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The gospel lesson is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And here ends the reading from the gospel. Amen.
The claim I want to make is that there is a word from the Lord for everyone, including God's dogs. There is even a word from the Lord for those of us who sometimes think that God has nothing to say to us, that the real truth about us is that we are either the abandoned or the neglected stepchildren of God. I think there are some of you here this morning who feel that way about yourself. It is to you that I want to offer this word of the good news of the gospel, just as I offer it to myself. It is a word to those of you who, as I do, define yourselves as the once born and unspoken to, the people for whom every day with Jesus isn't sweeter than the day before. Those of us who have been scarred by what the late Walter Lippmann once called the acids of modernity and made semi-blind and semi-deaf by the sights and sounds of day after day after day in which there was not even a glimpse of the tip of an angel's wing, nor a whispered monosyllable from the Holy One. There is even a word from the Lord for people like us. It is a gracious word. It is a welcoming word. It is a surprising word. It is also a word that is not at all obvious nor easy to hear. This word for God's dogs is found in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And in these words about those words, words written by Brevard Childs, the initial encounter between God and Moses, writes Dr. Childs, reflects a remarkable mixture of ordinary elements of human experience and the extraordinary. Because I have on occasion been reminded that I am not spiritual enough, and because I enjoy so many of the sights and sounds and sensations of this world so thoroughly, I am encouraged, I take heart by that phrase, ordinary elements of human experience. God comes to Moses, the Holy One of Israel, and Jesus Christ becomes involved in the life of that monad in a setting created by a mixture of ordinary elements of human experience and the extraordinary. And what does that mean? Well, it means quite simply that what transpired between Moses and the Lord did not take place in a prayer meeting. It did not occur on a high spiritual plane. Moses was not walking in Zion when he received his word from the Lord. He was walking instead in an ordinary setting in what for him was a ho-hum, things as usual kind of day. As the story puts it, most matter-of-factly, one day while Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, he took the sheep across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. And that's it. No 24-hour prayer vigils, beseeching the Lord to save the soul of murderer Moses. No sounds of ravishing celestial music. No Sunday pomp and circumstance. Instead, it was an ordinary day and a man doing what for him were ordinary things. Again, according to Brevard Childs, the verbal form of verse 1 of chapter 3 of the book of Exodus emphasizes the continuity in time with the past. In other words, what Moses was doing on this day, he had done on many others. It was another in a long line of dusty, sandy days spent looking after somebody else's sheep and goats. It was the same kind of day as yesterday. And yesterday had been the same kind of day as the day before that. And the day before that, the same kind as the day before that, and on, months on end. Same family, same set of in-laws, same job, same pleasure, same worries. And of course, the same thoughts about everything always being the same. Continuity is the picture, with a little bit of monotony on the side. Common, How very common and how much like life was your life, Moses? Taken all in all, says Hermann Hesse's Steppenwolf, it had not been exactly a day of rapture. No, it had not even been a day brightened with happiness and joy. Rather, it had been just one of those days which for a long while now had fallen to my lot. The moderately pleasant, wholly bearable and tolerable, lukewarm days of a middle-aged man. It was on such a lukewarm day in the life of a middle-aged man that Moses looked up and saw one of the ordinary elements of his human experience. He looked up and saw a bush, and the bush was on fire, a common desert bush on fire, except this one burned, and it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. There had been many bushes in the desert days of Moses. I wonder how often in the past one of those bushes had blazed up, but he had not wondered about its flame and did not draw close enough to see it for what it truly was. Our lives are lived among bushes, ordinary elements of human experience. The elderly neighbor from across the street waves and smiles as she walks down the driveway for her morning paper. You meet a stranger with whom a reserved word is spoken. The derelict clutches his brown bag and weaves along the sidewalk in the cold driving rain. You type one more letter. You sell one more of whatever it is that you sell. You sweep the floor once more. The wild bird sings joyously, and the tomatoes, they grow silently. You sit down at the dinner table with your family, and you are nourished by affection and by food. The evening newscast tells you of MX missiles and the resumption of the production of poisonous gases and the increasing number of hungry people in your own nation. But are these things? They are the common elements of ordinary experience. Bush after bush after bush, which dot the landscape of our lives. And then one day, when you're talking with a friend, or when you are grieving the death of a loved one, or reading a book, or playing with a baby, you do something extraordinary. You draw close enough to wonder. You begin to wonder. You wonder about that bush. And in your wonderment, you come close enough to see what had always been there for your sight, but you had never seen. And to hear what was always available to your ears, but you had never before heard. You see that the bush is on fire with meaning. And from out of that fire, a voice calls your name. Could it be? Is it possible that God isn't as officially religious as preachers make God out to be? Could it conceivably be the case that when the Lord comes dressed mostly in the clothing of every day, that the holy is present in mundane sights and sounds and people and beagle puppies, that the word of God's grace, the word of God's mercy, the word of God's judgment is spoken continually in familiar language?